need Megilla and Makarios.
Megilla?
Sorry. No, I got it.
Wow, I didn't give the wrong share. Okay. Okay, at this point, gentlemen,
guys,
ask someone to put away phones. They don't unbox them, tell them to take them back, and let's get started with the board. Everyone remembers Tale of Two Cities?
No.
Yeah.
Seriously? You guys didn't read it in high school?
No.
I didn't read my school. Alright, well, there goes that intro. Okay, so we're gonna do this by the way. Just for the record, you can all Google it later.
My pen.
Guys, Tale of Two Cities written by
Charles Dickens.
Guys, at this point I'm gonna ask everyone to please focus towards the front. Who basically compared Paris to London during the French Revolution. Great, we're going to leave all that aside. I want a tale. The basic point was to like contrast two different cities, two different atmospheres, two different ideals, two different everything, because a story and a city, yes, represent very different things. Okay, I want to do a Tale of Two Cidarn. That'll actually be the title. Okay, now, in order to do that, the key is to understand where the Seder is, who's at the Seder, and how that Seder is different than a different Seder. Okay, for example, when I was working in D.C., I came a couple months after the Tale of the Two Cities, the Republican Seder and the Democratic Seder, Hillary Clinton's Seder during her campaign, and Obama's Seder during his campaign. And the whole point was like, who's who of who got to help prepare, who got to be there, and they were very, actually they weren't so that different, but in theory they were supposed to have been very different Seder. Now, I just want you to imagine, and here I'm going to test our knowledge of current Israeli politics. If I compared the following four cities. Now, in order for you to understand this, your goal right now is to be able to tell me who's invited to each of these Sadar and what do you think the atmosphere of that Seder will be like. So if I say Rehov Balfour, to you, that should mean?
Tel Aviv.
In this country, Rehov Balfour means?
Any
secular.
That is the Prime Minister's house.
Oh.
Which means this is the Seder run by
BB.
And all the people at the table?
Like politicians.
True, and just based on the political spirits today, they're
right wing
donors.
They're right wing, they're donors, and they're all
secular
thieves.
Okay, guys, they're all very much focused on, like, how would their attitude towards Netanyahu be? These are loving, kissing up, listening attentively, behaving, squabbling perhaps in between each other, competition, jealousy.
Yeah.
But to Bibi, everything, please, because I want a better seat, I want a better job in 2 months when you hopefully win. Okay, Renata.
Americans.
Whose seat is in Renana? Whose Seder in the political spectrum is Renana? Who does Renana? We're only in politics. Tale of Two Cities is all about politics. Naftali Bennett lives in Renana. And next to him, of course, is his partner in crime. Now it's Yemin Hadash, Seder. And his partner in crime, who is an equal partner at the table. Seriously? Naftali Bennett and Ayala Chokade? And the two of them together, religious, secular, male, female, are sitting side by side, one, two, with a table of all sorts of others, what I'm going to call, a card on the back, all sorts of, lesser, what's the word I'm looking for? These are the two big guns, and then there's everybody else. So far, so good? Okay, next, three, Ramat Aviv. Ramat Aviv is a really, really, really high-class, well-off northern suburb of Tel Aviv.
Meretz.
And the person who lives there, we really need to know our names and associations better, is Yair Lapid. And Yair Lapid, and that is the home base of the birth of what today we call, gentlemen, the party called Kachol Lavan. Now in Kachol Lavan is sitting who? Ready? It's like the beginning of a joke. Former Ramakal, head of the army. Former Ramakal, defense minister who was the boss. Defense minister who was the boss of both of them. And Yair Lapid, who did not go to the army. Good? And has never had anything to do with the army. Finance minister. That is Ramat Aviv. Four people who each one of them, ready? Benny Gantz was under Bogie Yaalon. Bogie Yaalon was his boss. And now,
the other way around.
This is going to be a really, really interesting Seder. Everybody good?
DC, the plan they have, if they get it in the...
I'm sorry. We're all good. No worries. Next one. But in other words, rotation might be interesting to think about. Noctim? Noctim's by me. Further up from me. Towards Chevron. And that, of course, is where the Seder by Victor Lieberman is happening. Okay? So, grab my card on the back. You remember me in geography? Don't go along. Okay, everybody good? Is everybody clear that, you know, Yisrael Beiteinu, Russian party of Avigdor Lieberman, which is right now being killed in the polls, is a very different Seder than they're having in Ra'anana? Does everyone understand what I mean by that? In other words, the people that are there, the power balance between the people there, and the atmosphere, and most probably, gentlemen, guys, what they're actually doing there is probably totally different. Everybody with me? So this will be a tale of four cities. Good. I now want to move to the Seder. In the Seder, we have a tale of two cities. We have two different Seders described. One Seder, I assume, and hope we all know, is the story of Masad Rabbi Elazar. The Tosefta has a second parallel Seder. By parallel, I mean it's literally parallel. Except for some reason, it didn't make it into Haggadah. And I'm interested in how different are these two Seder. What are each Seder about? Who's invited to each one? What's the balance of powers between them? Or perhaps, who's not invited to each one? How coincidental are the cohorts there? And what model, message, and paradigm are these Siddharam giving to us as we read? Everybody good? Yalla, let's get started. We'll be all good. Everyone, please take a look at the first Seder that you know and love. Masad Rabbi Elazar. Does everybody have it? Yes, everyone has it?
Yes.
Masad Rabbi Elazar. Oh, I even put it on top of my sheet too. Okay, everyone see source 1 and 4? That's because I skipped 2 and 3 right now. Everyone see 1 and 4? Ready? We're going to compare the two. Ready? Everyone together. Masab, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. How many rabbis was that?
1, 2, 3.
2. 1.
1.
6.
5.
Follow on, guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Who says 4?
But offhand. Anybody have any ideas whether these 5 rabbis are connected?
They're all students of...
One became the Nasi.
It's in the same
okay.
sentence.
So. One became a Zen. So they're all mentioned together.
Yes.
One becomes a Nasi. Which one?
The
middle one.
Yeah.
What else can you tell me?
Bar Kokhba Rebellion.
The other one.
Bar Kokhba Rebellion we know of through who?
Rabbi Kiva.
Rabbi Kiva. Don't know if any of the others are involved in Bar Kokhba.
Rabbi Yeshua got into like a big fight.
Rabbi Yeshua got into a big fight with
Rabbi Gamliel.
And does that relate to any of these other people?
Yeah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah at the end of that fight, okay, we're going to read that Gemara inside.
He took over.
So let's just be clear that apparently there's a connection between these rabbis. They're involved in similar stories. Wait a second, and who did you say they took over from and they kicked out?
Rabbi Gamliel.
So you're not going to believe who the second story is about. Everybody look at source. Everyone look at source 2. Don't worry, we'll read the Gemara inside. Everyone look at parallel source number 4. Everyone look at Tosefta. Guys, who's the story about? Masebe Rabban Gamliel. Who here thinks that it's a coincidence that Rabban Gamliel's in one story and everybody else is in the other story? It's kind of like Bibi's in one and Gantz and all his friends are in the other. Everyone follow? Which means rabbinic politics is about to get involved in the Haggadah. Who's there? Now, what I'm trying to show you is a lot more than just politics. Now, I want to now compare the two stories. And I don't know if you've noticed, you see there's a box there where I gave you a chart to fill out. So I want you to keep this in mind as we do the two stories. I want to compare and contrast them. Ready? Let's read together the first story. Masa, Rabbi Elazar, blah, blah, blah. What did they do? Shehayu, where were they? The Subin, from the word Haseba. They were resting, leaning and dining. What city? B'nai Brak. You want to know why B'nai Brak?
Because Jerusalem, they couldn't go to Jerusalem.
Well, first of all, they couldn't go to Jerusalem. It was kind of... Well, how about this? That will all depend on when this was. By the way, can I figure out when exactly this happened?
Yes.
We will later, because there's only a very limited window of opportunity for all these five people that have been alive at the same time. So we'll get back to that. But the name Brock, I know who Seiya that is.
Rabbi Akiva.
You know how I know that? Because that's where his yeshiva was. And every time people go to...
that's
where Rabbi Akiva got. Okay, good. Oh. But that is within Chazal, that is the home of Rabbi Akiva. And anyone that ever comes to Rabbi Akiva's house, they go to Bnei Brak. So I've got a story with Rabbi Akiva in Rabbi Akiva's home. So far, so good? So it's in Bnei Brak. But I've got Bnei Brak. Next. What else do I have? What are they doing? They were telling the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim all night. And then, how and when did the story end? Ad Shabbat, tell me the Ham of Mulam. Hey, rabbis! Igiyazman Krishma Shal Shabbat. Everyone got the story? Story we know and love? Okay, I know. I'm going to read you the second story. And we're going to compare and contrast. Okay, guys, turn off the heat so we can all stop fighting like over the thing. Read me the second story. Maseh ben Rabban Gamliel. So far, the two stories are parallel. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Uzikainen. Oh wait, who are the other rabbis?
Uzikainen, elders.
Does it give them names?
No.
No, because Likud is filled. Who's in Likud?
No one knows.
BB. You know anyone else's name? You know all five people here, right? You have no idea who's on Likud. You also have no idea who's on here. Oh, wait, you know two people in Ranana, right? Because we all know Bennett and Shaked. Every group has different politics, has different power struggles. Okay, so it's Rabban Gamliel and Zakenim. Where were they? Oh, same word. Hayum Subim, where? Bebet, Betos Benzonim, Belud. Where's Lud?
Lod.
Where's Lod? Ben Gurion, right before Ben Gurion. A little further is Bnei Brak. So these are not far apart, geographically. But they may be very, very far apart in other ways. What were they doing there? What were they doing in the other place?
Saying the Exodus of Egypt.
Stories of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Contrast, compare. What were they doing here? Hayu oskim be Hilchot HaPesach Kol HaLaila. What does that mean? Option one is they were discussing it. Option two, they were doing it. Maybe it's more complicated than we thought. It's very intense. But they were doing, we have a contrast between storytelling and halakha. Again, power struggle. We have five equal rabbis as opposed to Rabban Gamliel and Zakenim. We have a topical difference. We have a geographic difference. What else do we have? How does the story end? You're not going to believe it. Same way. Because they were there Kol HaLaila, right? Ad Krot HaGever. What's Krot HaGever?
The friend called.
Krot HaGever is the cock-a-doodle-doo. Hegbihu milfineihem. Oh, what's that? Hegbihu milfineihem. What does that mean? Hegbihu. They what? They raised. If you go out from the Mishnah, they took his table away. Wait, presumably who?
Servants.
Not students.
Well, there's no students here. But we've got a lower level now of power. And where'd they go? They pick up from the house, from the Seder. Let's go to the Beit Midrash. So let's go, let's play. Comparisons. Are they similar?
Yeah.
Linguistically, they're similar. The overall storyline is very parallel. Like everything else, the devil's in the details and the differences. And the details are all going to be really, really meaningful. We have power differences, status differences, topical differences. Everybody good? Now, in order for me to understand actually what's going on, what do I need to understand?
What the differences are.
I understand who they are. I need to understand who they are, what they represent, and what they're doing in these places. In the same way that, just to be clear, if I was to say, you know, two generals, a defense minister, and a finance minister got together and were sitting at a bar, you would look at me and you'd say, I have no idea who you're talking about. By the way, if I told the same story 5 years ago, that these four guys were together, you'd look at me like I'm crazy, because the four of them are on three different political parties. Yes? Or at least two very different political parties, because the defense minister was on Likud, and the other two were neutral, part of the army. What do they have to do with each other? And Lapid? What does Lapid have to do with anybody? He's not an army guy at all. In fact, he can't even do the army. Why are they together? So 5 years ago, I have no idea. By the way, in 5 years, I also have no idea whether they'll still be friends. Maybe they'll be best friends. Maybe they'll be in government. Maybe they, God knows where they'll be. So this is a really interesting moment in time where they're all sitting together. So far, so good? Okay, now we need to learn from history. You all ready? I'm going to try to do something interesting. That's not what I meant. I'm going to do something a little bit unusual. I want to kind of play with the relationship between history and halakha and learning Gemara through history and appreciating Gemara by history. So I want to look at the first parak of Pirkei Avot, and I want to learn history from it. Everyone see the first parak of Pirkei Avot on my sheet? Everyone see it? Ready? Let's go. The story begins with, look at Mishnah Aleph. Who's the first Mishnah? It goes from Moshe until Anshei Knesset Agdola. When's Anshei Knesset Agdola? Time period?
After Moshe.
Where after the destruction of the first temple. Who comes after that? Mishnah Bet? Shimon HaTzadik is generation one. Look who he was. Mishairei Knesset Agdola. He's the last remaining survivor of Anshei Knesset Agdola. So he's early Tanaim. Everyone good? We then move along. What do we have in the next column? We have these six pairs of Zugot. Yes? What happens at the end of the pairs of Zugot who are the last Zugot?
Hillel
and Shammai. And what unfortunately happens during their reign?
They die.
They die, and so do lots of other people. And we call that? Churban HaBayit, destruction of the second temple. Everyone good? So you understand the Zugot represent the remainder of the second temple period. Okay? One other thing I'll mention, just for fun. Everyone see the limud I left you about Shimon HaTzadik? There are three things the world stand on, right? What are they?
Torah,
Avodah, Mil Chassadim. What did Avodah mean? Avodah is Korbanot because the Mikdash is still around? Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Now skip to box three. Who is the first head of the Jewish people after the destruction of the temple? Right? We have Yeshua ben Yochanan ben Zakkai is the rabbi who kind of gets us through the Korban. And the first Nasi is none other than Rabban Gamliel. Yes? In what city?
Sokol.
What city? Tainli Yavna v'chachamah. He's in Yavna, which how far away from Lod is that? Across the highway the other way. Not so far. Okay? And who's the next Nasi after him?
Shimon ben Gamliel.
Shimon beno. So we call that Rabbinic Dynasty. By the way, look at his three things. What are his three things that the world depends on? Judgment, truth, and peace. Guess what he replaced? The Mikdash. That is not there anymore. Okay? Everyone understand? That's Parak Aleph. Does everyone understand the structure of Parak Aleph? The three things, the three most important things are the structure, because we've gone from destruction of first temple to post-destruction to the second temple. And we also now identify our players. Yes?
Yeah.
We're all good with our history? Again, I'm using Pirkei Avot to teach me history. By the way, if you learn Pirkei Avot, you'll also recognize all the names of all the streets around here. And there's a reason they're all connected, because they're all in the same Parak Pirkei Avot. Next, Parak Bet. Oh, sorry. Who's not in any of that Parak? Who's not in Parak Aleph? Anyone from the Rabbi Elazar story. Why not? Because they're not in Rehov Balfour. They're not Nassis. Not in Likud. They're other parties. Yes? They're not in the power system and hierarchy. Who are they? Ready? Everyone take a look. I've compared to you who they are. Ready? Just for 2 seconds, everybody look. Who's Rabbi Eliezer? I mean, just read what I said. He's a student of Hillel. He survives the Korban, but he's a teacher of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's on the list. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi Lazar, he's a nice guy. But as we're going to see in a couple of good stories, he's not, you know, like when we say someone's old school? He doesn't fit into Yavin. Okay, we'll get to him in a second. Rabbi Tarfon, who is he? A student of?
Beit
Shammai. Okay? Which means, again, is he Yavna?
Nope.
Not so much. Especially because, guess what, Rabbi Gamliel is the one who says, we'll see soon, says Rabbi Gamliel, we paskin like? Beit Hillel. Remember that whole thing? Bat Kol, Paskins like that? That happens in Yavna, under Rav Gamliel. Next. Oh, by the way, one of my also hopes is that we're going to appreciate how important biography and knowing who people are, and that all at the same time period, and who argues with who. We'll get there. Who's Rabbi Yeshua? Do we know who Rabbi Yeshua is? He's the major rival of Rav Gamliel. We'll see him in a story in a second. Who's Rabbi Akiva? younger contemporary of both. They're all his students. And Rabbi Ben Azaria is also a student in Yavne. So please tell me, who's this group so far?
Students.
These are a group of high-powered students that are not the Nasi. And as we're going to see, even though one will become the Nasi, as we'll see, that story is not simple. These guys are all in the opposition party. Okay? Yes, so far so good? Okay. Turn the
page. Why do we need to make it back competing?
Says, we're not going to learn a story. The story I have a feeling that many of us know, so we are going to skim it a bit, but we're going to learn the Gemara in Brachot, source number 5. I'm going to paraphrase it, or perhaps read different parts, because I'd like to try to show you that through this famous story, not only is almost every single member going to be involved in the story, we're going to get a better sense of who's who and how they interact. Okay? Everybody ready? The story begins with a student who came before who? An Aleph?
Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua. And they said, hey Rabbi Yeshua, is Arvit Rishut or Chova? You have to have Arv or not? He said?
Rishut.
Rishut. Who did the student go to next? Rabban Gamliel. By the way, if his name is Rabban Gamliel, that means he is already Nasi. So they go through Gamliel, they say, hey Rabban Gamliel, Rishur Chova. And the answer is?
Chova.
Now look at the end of Aleph. Look what this wonderful student does. Amar lo, Balu Rabbi Yeshua, Amar li Rishut. What did he say? He said, hey, really? You know, Rav Ebner, I'm pretty sure his husband told me that I should hold a day and a half, not 2 days.
Ooh.
I thought you're the real Rosh Hashiva. Does everyone follow? That's exactly what we're talking about here, right? Yes? Someone's causing trouble between the Nasi and what we're going to call the number 2 Rosh Hashiva in the building. Amalo, bet, what happens? Okay? Himtin Adshi Yikansu Bali Tris in the Beit Midrash. No problem. Let's wait until Shir Kvali. And I'm going to get everyone in the room together. When everybody comes in, he calls on the wonderful troublemaker student. And he says, go ask your question. And he says, hey, Rabbi Gamliel! Arvit Rishut Chova. Says Rabbi Gamliel. What does he say?
Chova.
Chova. We're going to have to think about why, but we'll get there. And then Rabbi Gamliel says, so, anyone disagree with me? Because I heard a rumor that someone does.
Ooh.
Now, continues the story, ready? I'm in bet. Look at the end of the second line. Klum yesh adam shecholek b'davar zeh. So, if you really had time to read through this Gemara, it's beautiful. It's drama. Does anyone disagree? Amarle, who does he turn to? Third line of bet. Amarle Rabbi Yeshua. What does he say?
No.
Wait, why is he saying no? Why is he denying it? He's not stupid. The Nasi is getting up witch hunting. He's keeping his mouth quiet. Amarlo, wait a second, Rabbi Yeshua. Halo bishimcha amarli rishut. I heard in your name you disagree. Busted. Yes? Amarle Yeshua, emor raglecha v'yigbecha. Get up and swear. Stand up. Ready? Keep reading. I skipped a bit. Hayar Rabbi, look at the next look at the end of that. Hayar Rabbi Gamliel Yoshev Doresh, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Al Raglav. What's that about? Someone figure out what's going on?
We're sitting.
Just stand up.
Simcha, stand up. Okay, now let's continue learning the Gemara. Now, just, I want everyone to follow the image. I'm sitting here teaching. And Simcha's wearing the dunce cap, standing up in front. Everyone follow? Does everyone understand what's going on? This is
an
embarrassing humiliation.
No.
Because wait, why is he doing this? Guys.
We are trading his power.
We are. That's it. Rabbi Gamliel is exercising his power, making it very clear that my halakhic position is the position that will be followed here. Any dissenters will be hunted down and publicly disciplined. So far so good? Let's keep going. Dalet. Oh, Gimel. Ad sharanu kala'am. At this point, we have the Arab Spring, and people go crazy. Va'amru l'chutzpin ha'torgaman, amod v'amad. They start telling his targuman, right, his translator, his microphone, stop shir. We won't go on. Dalet. Amri. Ad kama nitzar ibn Ezra. How long are we going to let this guy get away with this? We cannot have Trump here that much. We've got to get rid of the guy. It's time to just shut down the government again and get rid of him. Yes? Exactly what happens. And then, look at Dalit. The Gemara then gives a list of all the things that Rabban Gamliel did that he should be impeached for. Okay, you can look at Rashi here. Rashi explains what they all are. Let's assume they're all similar things. And you're not going to believe who half the time gets the brunt of them.
Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua. And soon we'll also see Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Oh, and he's going to excommunicate Rabbi Eliezer. Don't follow who these guys are? This is literally the opposition, outsiders. Next. So now everyone look at Hay. What's the Gemara's question? Great. We'll impeach him. Who are we going to put in his place? And the Gemara is going to make three suggestions. You're not going to believe that all three of them are in our story. Vav. Nukme Leh. Who's the first suggestion?
Yeshua.
Now, why do you think Rabbi Yeshua is the first choice? He's the opposition leader. He is the biggest Talmud Chacham in Yavne, next to Rabban Gamliel. The problem is, Val Maisu. What does that mean? He's part of the story. It'll make it appear like this is a political coup. It's about personal vengeance. And it's not about Torah. It's not appropriate to use it. Yes? Option two. Nukme Rabbi Akiva. Who's the number two? Sorry, number three. Rabbi and Beit Midrash. Rabbi Akiva. What's the problem? He doesn't have zechut avot. Basically, listen, you can't be in politics if you're a Baal Teshuva and you have no money and you have no family. You know why? Because politics is about power. It's about using your family. Okay? Just to be clear, let's see. Rehov Balfour Bibi's grandparents were involved in politics. All these people are either army people. Yair Lapid's grandfather started Meretz. These are all political people. Ben's just rich. I have no idea what Lieberman's story is, but he got out of jail in Soviet jury, he can handle himself. But you understand, Rabbi Akiva, Dilma Anishu, listen, people are going to give it to him, he's got no backbone. He has no power, he has no money, he has no infrastructure to support him, he'll never survive as a Nasi. But you understand, Rabbi Gamliel is our Nasi number one, powerful dictator. Number two is Rabbi Yeshua. Number three is Rabbi Akiva. Who's next in line? Nukmeler Elazar ben Gadol. You know why? He's got everything. He's rich, he's smart, and he's a descendant of Ezra. There's only one thing that he doesn't have, and that is
age.
He's young. And remember the story here? He says, I'm 18. I don't even have a beard yet. And then what's the story? It's a miracle overnight, he grew beard. So basically, does everyone clear that whenever our story is going to happen, you understand he might be very young. Know how I know he's young? No, because at the time of the story of the Haggadah, is he Nasi yet?
No.
Therefore, he's got to be super young. He's a rising star of the story. As we're going to see, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Tarfon are the older generation. So at least we're figuring out where things go. Yes, everybody with me? Now, I need one last thing. Does anybody look at text? Does anybody know what happened once Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah took over? And remember what happened after?
They didn't like it.
No, definitely not. Everyone, please take a look at that. Everyone's got to see this, because this is going to be the ideological part of the difference between the two Siddur. Tana, Oto Ayom Salku L'Shomer HaPetach. The day Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over the yeshiva, they kicked out the bouncer of the yeshiva. B'Natu Lehem Rishudu Talmidim Ikanes. Anyone that wants to learn can come in. Not just the people that could get into Brisk, but anyone that wants to learn in Brisk. Okay, Brisk has literally, I don't remember how many, but Brisk is probably up there as one of the top yeshivot in Yerushalayim. I don't know how much, I actually have no idea how many students they have, but let's assume it's a very limited number. Mir, anybody can go to the Mir, right? Mir has 7,000 plus students. There's no entrance exam. All you have to do is rent an apartment and wait for a seat. You can go wherever you want. Brisk, not a chance. Now, what happened? Shehayam and Tet. Shehayam and Gamliel Machriz Vomer. Kol Tamid She'en Tocho Kiboro. Lo yikanes. Once you pass the exam, that you're sincere, you're authentic, your insides and your outsides are the same. Okay? Basically, can't get it. What happened? Everyone with me in Tet? Ahu Yoma, that day, astafu kama safsalei. They added lots and lots of benches in the Beit Midrash. How many? Some people say 400. Some people say 700. Everybody follow? We now have the Beit Midrash in Yavne. That's transformed from a tiny dictator-like Beit Midrash, with Rabban Gamliel at the helm with an iron fist and a small group of worthy men. We now change it for Rav Elazar ben Azaria, who's a youngin with a very different spirit, who now surrounds himself with not 40 students, but 700 students. Keep going. Tana. Everyone look at Yod. Eduyot bo bayom mishnet. Anyone know what Eduyot is? Masechet. That day, they composed an entire Masechet. What was the Masechet? Anytime the Gemara says bo bayom, it means that day. What was so special about that day? Everyone look inside your eye. There was never, they basically took every open case, every unanswered question, and with 700 not so worthy people, they got to the bottom of every single one. Please tell me who Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is and what he expresses.
More students, more wisdom.
More students, more wisdom. More democratic, more open. Multiple voices come together much more harmoniously. Everybody with me? So I've got two very different people. And are we now beginning to get a sense of who's who? Yes? Okay, now let's tell a couple other quick stories. Let's put things together. Everyone please look at source number, let's do 11. Turn the page. The big one on source 3. This is the story that I'm now going to reread, even for those of you that know it, because now that you know the names, you might appreciate their roles in the story. This is the famous story of Tanur Shel Achnai. Do we know this story? Okay, the story of Tanur Shel Achnai. I'm going to tell the story without names, and then I'm going to fill in the names, and you're all going to be like, oh. The story goes like this. There was a rabbi. At the moment, we're just going to call him Rav Elazar. And he was convinced he was right about the tumah and tahara status of a guy named Achnai's oven. And the establishment, which of course you know is Rabbi Gamliel, said, you're wrong. And Rabbi Elazar hadn't lost it that day. And he said, I'm telling you I'm right, and if I'm right, what's going to happen?
That's lightning.
What's the story? First one, everyone take a look. The tree, the carob tree outside will prove, and it, what does it do? It jumps 100 amos in the air and falls down in some sort of Harry Potter Lord of the Rings way. Okay? Two. What does the establishment say back?
It's not.
We don't take proof from Lord of the Rings. Fine. Next. Or I didn't read the book, as my guy showed me this morning. Yes? Okay. Next. Chazar Balmerlam.
Is the
Rabbi Elazar?
Huh? The river?
Yeah. Rabbi Elazar says, if the halakha is like me, the water will prove it. And it goes from downstream to upstream. And of course, the establishment says, you know, water, I don't really understand science anyways, and that don't prove nothing. Finally, if the halakha is like me, the walls of the Beit Midrash will start crumbling. So far, so good? Now, the walls of the Beit Midrash start crumbling in. But who's inside the Beit Midrash in Yavne?
The students.
Okay. Who's our number one name in Yavne? Now, the male's causing the problem outside.
Rabbi
Yeshua. Yeshua. Now pick up the story with Bet. Ga'ar Bahem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is sitting in the Beit Midrash trying to learn. These two guys are outside screaming at each other. And the Beit Midrash is starting to fall because of this. Yes? What happens? Ga'ar Bahem. He starts yelling. What are you guys doing? Amar Lahem. You know, what are you guys doing? And then says the Gemara, the walls of Beit Midrash stopped because of Rabbi Yeshua. But yet it didn't straighten out because of Rav Elazar. Gimel.
What's that angle?
Lexbar. Gimel. It's on an angle now. Okay? It was the leaning tower of the Yavne. Now, Gimel. Because of Rav Elazar, still needs to prove he's right. So what does he say? Anyone know the next one? If I'm right, let a bat kol come out and tell me I'm right. Of course, the bat kol comes out. And what does it say? He's right. And what does the establishment say to him?
Not
a chance. And then, of course, you all recall the story. God says, "Nitzchuni banai nitzchuni." God laughs and says, "My children have won." So far, so good? Now, I need to know the rest of the story. Who actually knows the rest of the story? For some reason, the story, when told, always ends there.
I thought it ends there.
Good. Now we're going to continue with hey. Hey is actually, especially now that we know who's who, you're not going to believe what happens. Everybody look at hey. Okay, that's my addition. Fine. Everyone look at hey. Omro. Oto ayom. Guys, But this is the source 11. We're in the Gemara in Bava Metzia Mincha. Ready, everyone? Look at hey. Does everyone have it? Yeah. Again, we're in source 11. Hey. Amru oto ayom eviu kol tarot shetir of Elazar the sarfum ba'esh. What happened on that day when the story was ended to Rav Elazar?
They burnt all his stuff.
We burnt his stuff. Do you understand that Rav Elazar just had a massive shouting match with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump fired him? Everybody understand the analogy? The head of the FBI said, I disagree. Science proves me right. God proves me right. Everything proves me right. And what happens? You're fired. Everyone look at the last line. Yimnu alav ubarcheu. Anybody know what that means? I'm going to say it nicely and I'll say it not nicely. Nicely is they kiss them goodbye. Not nicely is it's a euphemism for they put them in cheren. Vav. The amru. We're now in the Beit Midrash. Mi eilech v'yodiyu. Someone, what does it mean?
Who goes and
who's going to be the one to tell Rav Elazar? And he's Necherim, and he's out of the Beit Midrash, and he can never come back. Answer?
Rav Gamliel.
No. Donald Trump doesn't get his answer. Amar Lahem, guys, vav. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Akiva, Ani Ele. I'm the number 3 in the Beit Midrash. For the record, we're not going to have time to see it, but Rabbi Akiva calls Rabbi Elazar, one of his Rebbeim, at various points. You know what, just for fun? Just look on the bottom. Look at source 17. Ma'ayat chilatos Rabbi Akiva. Everyone see source 17?
Yeah.
Again, I'm here. Biography is really about everything, just like we know our politics, and especially our local politics, and hopefully we'll learn our Israeli politics, and even our rabbinic politics. What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? You all know the story, right? How old was he?
40.
Good. And whose yeshiva did he go to? At 40. Okay, let's look. Amar ben Aram Shana Velo Shana Klo. Hayalo made. First he went to learn at some teacher. And then, he went to some elementary school teacher. They taught him Torah. Please look inside, gentlemen, 17, where he went next. Halach via Shavlo, Lifnei, Rabbi Elazar, and
Rabbi Yeshua.
This is all one small story, isn't it? You understand, eventually Rabbi Akiva is going to become greater than both of them. By the way, just for a fun story, look at the Yerushalmi 18. This is just for all those of you that think your Rabbi doesn't know you. Shlosh Yisrei Shana, Asa Rabbi Akiva. What did he do?
He
13 years, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar. He didn't even know his name. He didn't even realize he was there. His name was a 40-year-old shepherd. He didn't pay attention to him. Apparently, 13 years later, he realized that he was up and coming gadol. Okay? Now Rabbi Akiva, who's his Talmud, says, I'm going to go tell him he's in Chayra. Because I'm going to do it nicely and carefully, and the rest of you are going to blunder it, and you're going to insult my Rebbe. Outsider. Rejected. Maybe he deserves to be, because he mouthed off to Trump Rav Gamliel.
Wasn't Rav Gamliel tag of power?
What? How about this? We'll get there in a few minutes, and then we have to talk about why, what, who, but agree. Everyone take a look, but obviously, yeah. They claim the same thing about Bibi, right? Like of course, others say, no, that's just how you run a country. Okay, everyone, the basic story of Vav is Rabbi Akiva sits down next to him, he starts crying, he wears black, and he basically looks like he's in mourning, and he says, Rabbi Elazar, got bad news for you, but we can't do this anymore. And they said, Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing? He says, I think that your friends no longer can spend time with you. And he gets a hint, he gets to understand, he does Kriya, he cries, and when he cries, we now have, remember the story was a little supernatural? So we now have stories about the supernaturalness of his what's it called?
Crying. Yes.
Of his crying, and fields get destroyed. You're not going to believe who gets attacked by a missile?
A missile.
Everyone look at the end of Avram Gamliel had Baba Sfina. Avram Gamliel at that time, when he was told, was on a boat. Amar Olav Nichshol Litfo. All of a sudden, there started coming a storm. Omer. What conclusion did Avram Gamliel come to? Kimidomeli. It appears to me, I'm at the end of Vav, in source 11. She'ein ze el b'shvil Rav Elazar. This is because of the fight and my putting in Cheren Rav Elazar. Everyone feels the dynamics? Now, just to answer your question, Saul, I want to read Zion. Again, we can tell so much in great stories. Amar al-Raglav, Rav Gamliel gets up. V'amar. Ribono shel olam. dear God, as he's standing on the boat that's about to have a tidal wave hit it. And he knows it's because of what he did to Rolosa. Galui v'yador lefanacha. It should be known before you. Shelo lechvodi asiti. I did not do this for my own glory. And now let's at least give a second for Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, Bibi, maybe even Trump in a good day. This is not because of me and power. Ela, v'lo lechvod beit ava asiti. It's not because I want a dynasty and my parents. Ela lechvodcha. I did this for you, God. Why? Shelo yarbu machloket b'Yisrael. I just want to give this 30 seconds. Rav Gamliel is of the opinion that the reason for the Chorban is because the students of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai couldn't get along. And the halachic process was divided into two, and then we started that whole thing called Sinat Chinam, because when you have groups don't like each other, and that undermined Judaism and the Jewish people and led to the Chorban. And I, Rav Gamliel, when am I alive? I am the first generation of Jewish leadership after the Chorban. And you know what I'm going to make sure to do? That this will not happen again. We will have a unified, centralized Jewish leadership where we all go under the same thing. But guess what I'm going to decide in Yavne?
Tell us what we should.
That we are going to paskin like Beit Hillel. Sorry, that's a rule just for fun. Anyone know where that's found? That's a rule that we have. Everyone look at 12 for a second. Mishiyatza batko le'olam halacha kedivrei Beit Hillel. And anyone that violates that is Chayav Mita. Anyone see where that's from? Look at the answer. Where did it come from?
It came from Yavne.
No, I'm saying it happened in the city of Yavne, i.e. on the lyric of Shofen Zachar. No, but the point is, we use the Bakal Tels for the Paskin, like in this case. By the way, the irony there is fantastic. A totally different discussion, but how that same position applies is really, really exciting. I don't have anything really good to say except that it's a wow and we should think about that. Is everybody with me so far? So, does everyone follow what we have here? We have Rabban Gamliel who's saying, I need to repair Judaism, the breach in Judaism, the breach between the rabbis and the Jewish people, by creating a centralized, uniform rabbinic government. And therefore, everyone listens to me. Yes? Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, maybe that worked for your generation because that's what you needed to survive Chorban. But you know what we need in my generation? I need everybody. I need openness. Now here, I want to do one quick thing. Turn the page to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. I want everyone to look at verse 22. D'tanya. I want to tell a famous story about Rav Elazar ben Azariah and just how different... Sam, I'm going to talk to you on the chair behind you. His Beit Midrash was. And I want you to compare this to Rav Gamliel. Ready? Everyone see it? 22? Maaseh Rav Yosi bar Dormexius Shalach Lakbil Pnei Rav Elazar Belud. Oh, I know him. He's Rav Elazar. He went to go visit Rav Elazar. Amar lo, says Rav Elazar to his student who came to visit him. Ma chidush haya Beit Midrash hayo? What chidush was there in the Beit Midrash of Rav Elazar ben Azariah? What's the assumption?
There's something new every day.
There's something new every day in the Beit Midrash of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We see this phrase asked dozens of times to Rav Elazar ben Azariah's Beit Midrash. This was the most creative Beit Midrash ever. If you looked at Masechet Ediyot, the names there are all over the place. They're not the names you always think of. This is a creative, open Beit Midrash filled with people that normally are not part of the halachic system. Amar lei nimnu v'gamru. Who knows what that means?
They finished all the...
Nimnu,
limnot. They stopped.
They counted. Because how does it work there? It's by vote. Everyone has equal vote in this Beit Midrash. Everybody follow? Yeah, what do you want to say, Shlomi?
No, I didn't realize
it's wrong. Okay, get back to me later. Next, Gimel. I'm now going to read to you Elazar ben Azariah's famous vort. He gets up and he gives a vort where I'm in 22 bet. Where he basically says, what is the key to Torah? The key to Torah, just look at the bold lines for a second. Balei asufot natnu miroe achad. I want you to imagine what am I thinking of? What's it called? You know, you pour liquid in.
Dissolves.
Funnel.
A funnel. But it's an upside down funnel. This is Moshe, and this is Torah Sheba'al Peh. Every generation expands it. It gets wider. It started out with one voice, and it gets wider. And now look at the second underlined part, the bold part. Aseh aznecha. Now you have to make your ear like the opposite funnel. And you need to learn to hear all the voices, filter, and integrate them. And that's exactly what Rav Elazar ben Azariah stands for. So if I had to put this all together, I want everyone to now reflect for a second on how different are the two Seder stories that we started with. Somebody help me out. Look back at the stories. Look back at the details of the stories that are different. And I want you just to envision it for me. What did each Seder look like based on understanding the biography? Start us off.
When Rebbe Elazar, they were learning the story they were telling Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. They're bringing all the opinions in, hearing everything that they're
saying. So let's focus on words. First of all, they are telling stories. You know why they're telling stories? They're being creative. They're speculating. Which is okay. Because there's no definitive story I need to tell you. You know why it takes all night to tell the story? Because everyone has different narratives, everyone has different perspectives, everyone's doing different things. Wait, tell me more. Tell me more about the details of that story. Who's at the story?
The students are
there. A bunch of rabbis.
Hold on. First of all, I've got students there. I also have five rabbis. Is it clear who's in charge?
Right.
Give me possibilities based on the structure. Who's in charge? Rabbi Elazar, just to be clear. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are the first two?
No.
Who's the first one?
Rabbi
Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is perhaps the oldest, but bear in mind he's also?
Eliezer.
Eliezer is the oldest? I meant Eliezer, the first one. He's the oldest, of course he's also in Chayim. Again, it's maybe before. I'm assuming this is before he was in Chayim, because by the way, after he was in Chayim, Baal can't come to his house, but he will be in Chayim one day. Okay, who's in the middle?
Rabbi
Ben Azariah, which maybe it means because he will be one day. Don't know. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon is last. Rabbi Tarfon, I don't have time to talk about. Rabbi Tarfon is a remnant of Beit Shammai. Can someone remember a Mishnah and Brachot about standing and sitting in Krishna? And do you remember? Rabbi Tarfon gets in trouble and almost dies because he was machmir for Beit Shammai. By the way, that's like the third time in Shas that story happens to him. In other words, Rabbi Tarfon is constantly, the term used for him is a shamuti. He's a student of Beit Shammai in a Beit Hillel world. Because, how about that? That all depends on your perspective, but generally, in Chazal, it's definitely not. Hebrew even sounds bad. But basically, he is in a Yavna world, which is Paskins like Beit Hillel, and he's the leftover Shammai. Now again, so I've got five equal rabbis. I've got all the, what I'll call, non-establishment rabbis, each one in their own way. And I've got them telling stories, speculation, and they stay up all night. Their students are part of them. Contrast that, please. Who's the other story?
Just Rabban Gamliel.
Just Rabban Gamliel. There's nobody else involved. Oh, right. And his elders, his posse, and his slaves. And they're learning, they're doing halakha. Maybe, by the way, I could very well be, they're determining the halakha. Where do I have Rabban Gamliel in the Haggadah? Let's think wider.
The next line.
Where? Where do I have Rabban Gamliel in the halakha? Rabban Gamliel says, you have to do three things. Listen to the language. What's the language? Look at the language. Chayav, kol shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu l'chesed, lo yatsa yedecha vato. I am determining the final form of what the Seder will look like. Where do I have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar in the Seder?
Beginning.
Besides that.
Yeah.
Give me another
story.
Form.
The plagues.
And what are they doing?
Counting.
How? Everyone look in the in this thing. We're in the fourth column. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And they're saying, what do you mean there were 50 makot? No, there weren't 50. There were 250. Creative. Speculation. There's no judgment between them. It's three positions, one after the other. All voices are heard. All voices are interesting. We're listening to everything. The two Sedarim, the two Haggadahs, will run through, right? There's four sons. Okay? There's lots of what we'll call openness within the Haggadah. Within the Haggadah, there's also reflection of Rabbi Yishmael. Everybody with me? Of Rabbi Gamliel. Just for fun, I want everyone just for 1 second just to look at a Mishnah Brachot. Everyone look at source 8.
You're not going to believe who are the four people that argue on Source 8.
No way.
No.
Anyone in my field this year, I really hope this will be more meaningful. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Gamliel says, every day you need to say Shemona Esrei in the fixed form. Wait a second, where was Shemona Esrei established? By Yavneh, by Rabbi Gamliel. Guess what Rabbi Yoshua says? You don't have to say all of Shemona Esrei like that. I am Shemona Esrei. You know, you have to say the 18 points, but I don't have to use your words, buddy. I don't need your words. My words are just as good as yours.
Is that the shortened one?
Something like that, but he doesn't mean that in that sense. Rabbi Akiva says, actually, it depends on how much you know, how well you know the text. Rabbi Elazar says, Osa tfilato keva, anyone that makes their tefillah the same every day, ain't tfilato kachuna. You know what that's called? It's not called davening. But you understand? This is Rabbi Elazar, who Rabbi Gamliel is going to put in cherem one day. This is Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Gamliel who fight because they have totally different opinions. Rabbi Gamliel is going to become halacha. He's going to establish we all say Shemana every single day. But we're going to have throughout Shas, and I'm hoping this will help, you know, bring some of the Gemaras that we learn a little bit alive, that we are going to start seeing these rabbis all fighting things out. So far, so good? Okay. I have limited time, so first of all, I'm going to do three things. First of all, almost everything I said is straight out of here. Okay? In other words, I reread this book 2 weeks ago. So, pretty much, there are four volumes. We have it in English in the Beit Midrash. This will help make the world of Gemara come alive. Okay? All the sources I've used are pretty much 90% of them are from here. Simply because he did a great job. And you should all read the book. And we want Gemara to come alive. Okay. That's my commercial. Now, I want to do two other really quick things. I want to now move from the world of Rami Gamliel, Siddharam, to world of Hasidus. I would like to compare sources 24 and 25. I want to do is take a famous mashal, and I want to try to present it as a Rabbi Gamliel way of looking at the world, and a Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Masa Rabbi Elazar way of looking at the world. Yeah, read from it. Yeah, 24. Who's a Masilik Sharm fan? Yeah, start with that. Yeah, go.
Right.
Go, yeah.
To what is this analogous? To a maze garden, a type of garden common among the nobles, which is planted for the sake of amusement. The plants are arranged in walls, and between the walls there are many confusing and interlacing paths, all similar to one another. The purpose of the maze is to challenge the visitor to reach a portico in its midst. Some of the paths are straight ones which lead directly to the portico, but some merely lead a person astray. One who walks along the paths has no way of seeing or knowing whether he is on the true or false path, for they are all similar, presenting no difference whatsoever to the discerning eye. Such a person.
Everyone follow, understand the reality? Again, imagine one of these mazes, maze runner, whatever, you know, and you got to figure out your way through. There's only one way through, and only the person who made it to the end can figure it out. There's only one source of authority, and only one person knows, yeah?
Such a person will not reach his goal unless he has perfect familiarity with the paths and has already reached the portico. He who occupies a commanding position in the portico, however, sees all of the paths before him and can discriminate between the true and the false ones. He is in a position to warn those who walk upon them and to tell them, this is the path, take it. He who is willing to believe him will reach the designated spot, but he who would rather trust his own eyes will certainly remain lost and fail to reach it.
In other words, read me to the charm, follow what I have to say. I've been there, I've been through that. Trust me, there is no other way. This is the path of 32 ways to God, and here's what you need to do. This is what the halacha is, this is what Rabbi Gamliel says. Contrast. Who wants to be a chassid? In the chassidish voice? Someone? Please? Anyone? Yeah. Alright, go for it. Okay? This is from Shai Agnon, telling the following story. It's the same story, but totally different.
He may have been wandering about in the desert for several days, not knowing the right way out.
Good
Hasidic voice. So I approached him. His heart was filled with joy. Now I shall certainly find out which is the right way. He thought to himself. When they neared one another, he asked the man, "Brother, tell me which is the right way. I've been wandering in this forest for several days." Said the other to him, "Brother, I do not know the way out either, for I too have been wandering here for many, many days. But I can tell you this, do not take the way that I have been taking, for that will lead you astray. And now, let us look for a new way out together."
You want to follow the story? First of all, that was a terrible read of a Hasidic story. Even the brothers didn't have the right emotions, but we'll leave that aside. But everyone follows the point of the story? The point is, no one knows the right way. We live in a world where we're all lost. None of us are perfect. None of us know the truth. We open the Beit Midrash for everyone. The Seder is open for everyone. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a share. And let's go on this journey of life together. Two very opposite perspectives. Again, two very opposite Siddharim. And I'll end by saying two things. One is, different people come from different types of Siddharim. Sometimes you have the Seder where, you know, father, grandfather leads, everyone follows, calls on people, tells people what to do. And other Siddharim are free-for-alls. Other Siddharim are, again, maybe, you know, children need to be active, involved, everyone's involved. Some Siddharim are a round table. Others are, you know, a very distant table. So sometimes it's worth trying different tables, trying a different means of a Seder. In my house, in my parents' house, we had 2 days of two Siddharim. So two different Siddharim. Different person leads, different environment on both days. Try something different. Especially if you've gone through your life only having done one type of Seder, then that is really going to be significant. The second thing is, I think it's a lot wider and broader than just the Seder. This is about Judaism. This is about rabbis. This is about Torah. This is about halakha. And this is about our role and the role of society we're in. And, you know, if Sam was here, I'd say the role of modern orthodoxy. What is the role of me and you and everybody else? Who's the Nasi? Is there a Rabban Gamliel? Is that the society we're living in? Is that the way we learn Torah? That your Rebbe tells you what the Gemara says and don't ask questions and don't ask why and don't try to create interpretations? Or are we in our generation, and that may have been good for certain generations, or are we in a generation of Masa Rav Elazar and Rav Sam and Rav Gav and Rav Lior and Rav Ross? And that's our generation. And we all come together, and guys, and we learn together, and we each contribute, and we think, and none of us are perfect. Some of us will one day emerge Hashem put the chair, and some of us will one day be you know, one of us will be banished, and one of us with us, guys. But the point is, we all get together to learn, and based on the story in the Gemara, the Beit Midrash is a richer place because of it. The question is, what is the role of rabbis, of Talmud Chachamim, of lay people? What is the changing role of Talmud Torah and Halakha in our days? Right? Do I tell you all how many days of Yom Tov to do? Or do we have different ways and different rabbis and different opinions? Do you understand? In what type of world are we living? Guys, in what Seder are we participating at? In what city are we part of? So our tale of two cities, of the Haggadah, of Bnei Brak, of Bnei Brak, and of, where's the other one?
Lod.
And of Lod. Where are we? Where are we physically? Where are we spiritually? Where are we ideologically? And again, the comparison to two cities and to star, hopefully, has a lot to take with. Just as a fun ending, I left you a good Brisker story about a Brisker tale of two Siddharim. It's the Ridvaz, the commentator of Yerushalmi. It says, I was stuck in Volozhin, and I didn't have a place to go. So I went to the Seder of the Netziv, and in contrast, I went to the Seder of the Netziv, and then the next day I went to someone else's, the Beis HaLevi Seder, and he describes two totally different Seder experiences as well. That was my inspiration for today's sharing. Alright, I'll take questions, but otherwise, Shkot, guys.
Just to confirm, your whole thing is supposed to tell us that